This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast.
I'll probably have food delivered at some point during this. That's fantastic. So pause for that.
That's fine. You know, I don't care. We've paused for better or worse. What'd you order?
I just ordered some Sam's a little bit before we started
the
show.
You'll get that in like 5 minutes. They're like 45 minutes to an hour. 20 minutes later, I'm like, Jesus Christ, guys, how'd you do that? Like, you're not even close, man. I had Sam's a couple days ago. They're not doing their coupons anymore either. I was like, shit. There goes the 2 12-inchers for $15 sub deal or whatever it was. Oh, well.
I don't think I've ever used a coupon at Sam's.
Yeah, well, you missed out. Boy, their friggin' fried mushrooms are good, though. Them are real good. I couldn't tell when I hung up if my, like, fucker was like, I was like, I hope it didn't sound like I was being serious. He knows I'm not serious, but I was like,
I didn't even hear it.
I was like, fucker. But it didn't come out funny like that. It came out like not funny. I was like, oh, shit. Like,
fucker? What?
Fucker. Shit. I was like, what? Oh, man. I think it's funny that you're like, you had to get up and walk somewhere. Fucking douchebag.
Well, I also forget that, like, you watch it with Kim, too, because I'm like, why don't you just watch it on the computer and then just, like, hit the fucking record button?
I would, and she has a migraine today. I was like, we don't have to watch it. She's like, no, I like rewatching it. I'm like, okay. It's only the third time we've both seen it now, because we watch it with Kevin and Anita, too. So we watched it Thursday night, last night, and tonight. I was like, okay. God damn. Pretty much know how it goes.
Let's see. Fucking have it memorized.
Well, someone's got to.
I mean, if I watched any show 3 times, I would have it memorized, too. Good Lord.
I can't help it. I've got to maintain the memory that I don't have. So I have to watch things over and over again. But not a bad second episode, though.
No.
I like that it was only an A and B plot this time. We didn't even touch the bridge officers at all whatsoever.
No, other than Homeboy was going through his jobs.
Yeah, and that's, yeah, I like the fact that they're just brought in as other things these kids run into. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was really cool, because so the A plot is, of course, Mariner and Boimler taking the Klingon guy down to the planet they're at to drop him off for whatever mission he's supposed to be, negotiation he's supposed to be at. But the B plot is really cool with, what's the kid's name? Rutherford, going through all the different all the different types, command, engineering, medical, security, because it's actually a funny spin on kind of like the start, like Gene Roddenberry's view of the future, where everybody's goal in life, since they've done away with money and they've done away with acquiring things as a as a society, you are more with like bettering yourself. So each time he goes to change jobs at a whim, like everybody's like, that's gonna be fantastic, man. That's great. I'm so glad you did it. And like doing that every time. I mean, other than when he's in medical, he's like, think about something great. Think about the warp core. He's like, this is where I got the burns. Like, oh my God, those are dilithium burns. How are you even still alive?
Right. Yeah. That was a good scene.
That was the best. But I it's just a really neat take on the, one of the things that like drives the Star Trek universe as a whole, and Starfleet and the Federation as a whole, is like, we don't have things, we better ourselves. We don't collect, you know, we don't buy a bunch of shit to show how good we were. We better ourselves, you know, our brains or what we learn or how we, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's kind of neat. It's kind of cool. I did like the security one with the smorgasbord.
Oh, where he fought all the Borgs and stuff.
Yeah, because I liked during the fight scene, there was, I don't know if they meant to like take a spoof off of Upgrade, but they did a camera shot like you saw in the movie Upgrade. We were talking about it during, while we were watching it, where he falls on the ground and then the camera follows him down. And then he pushes against the ground and pushes himself back up to standing, but the camera follows him directly. Like, that's a straight shot for shot from Upgrade. And when that movie came out, everybody was like, wow, look at the camera. Because the camera did all that stuff and it stuck with the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the camera flipped with him and everything else spun around him. I thought it was just, and because that guy is cybernetically enhanced, I was like, oh, that's kind of neat.
Didn't know that.
Didn't? Have you seen Upgrade?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen Upgrade, but. Okay. Like, I'm going to fucking remember that, like, pushed off camera, all that shit you just talked about. I'm going to have any recollection of that. I give you the plot of the story. That's about it. Like, the minutiae in the middle, that's all gone already.
Man, the fight scenes were so cool, man. Like, you had to see
them. Yeah, and that's what I would say. I'd be like, yo, dude, this movie was awesome. Homeboy got an upgrade. Some shit went wrong at the end, dude. But the stuff, man, the fights in the middle, the way it flowed, that was awesome. Like, the way you described it in his actual motion, and then you're like, the camera, I don't fucking know, dude. I could have fell down the stairs and the camera followed him.
This is why. Yeah, right. This is why our podcast works so well. Because you and I watch movies completely differently.
We really do. We really do.
It is
the complete opposite frustrations for both of us. It's like, why would you invest that much detail and brain power to it? There's the food. Cool. I'll talk around my eating now. it's just like chicken tenders and a sub.
My go-to is a steak bomb every time at that place. Sub. It's like their Philly cheesesteak type sandwich, but it's also got like salami or something on it.
Yeah, there's too much shit going on, I think.
Whatever, dude. It's friggin' awesome.
We also eat completely different.
Why? Because you're not smacking into the microphone?
That. And you're like a sauce and fixin' dude.
Oh, yeah. You hate my ketchup. I'm not. Ketchup.
Like, you're like, yeah, man, the more shit they want to throw in there, the better. I'm like, nope. Mm-mm-mm. If you're going to bring it out like that, you better have it all individualized and let me put on what I want. Do not. No.
The things that we're opposite on are just the right thing,
right?
To not completely annoy everybody, not completely annoy each other. Let's see. So what were we talking about? The fight scene that he had with the Borg, that was pretty cool. But that was that whole B plot was cool. I don't know if they're starting to try to stoke like some sort of relationship for those two, if they're just going to be like best buds the whole time. Because he was real eager to do all this stuff for her, but I can't tell if he's just a friendly guy. I mean, hey, you can be a friendly guy, especially if the society you live in is going to receive your, you know, changes of things that quickly as not a bad thing. You're just trying new stuff out because you're trying to better yourself.
It's most certainly a romantic thing. Like, that's the way he acted at the end when she was like, you didn't try to change all those jobs just for me. And he's like pulling the collar shit like, that would be crazy. Yeah.
Right.
And they've already had that whole like walkabout fucking out there together and stuff. It's just more of like going to be one of those things like, oh, we are dating, aren't we? Kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think it's going to be. Not like a goofy romance. Yeah, they're just going to be like there hanging out and shit's all the same. And then it's just like, I like you. I like you. Okay. Okay. And then like, that's how those two dorks will go about it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Two big giant like dork, you know, nerds going after it. Just that'll be some funny stuff.
Then you'll get all the enhancements about his dick jokes.
Yeah. You can't pass those up whatsoever. The planet. So the visit to the planet was pretty cool. Cause it was neat to see. I mean, even the Klingon, even Corin, is that his name? Corin. Yeah. He mentioned they had like little Klonos, so like each area of the city they were going to had like its street that was like, this is the Klingon street and this is the Andorian section, this is the Ryza, like the one with the fountain and the lady who wanted to lay eggs in his throat, the Anabaj,
the weird,
like
that was Ryza.
Yeah, right. And I'm assuming because you're not a Trekkie that you're not familiar with what Ryza is as a planet. Do you know?
No.
It's like the
Vegas
of planet equivalent of like a sex world where it's just like everybody's there to go, you know, have a good time and everybody's scantily clad and there's workers walking around and
looks like Vegas everybody in space.
Yeah, kind of, but not so much the gambling as much as just the whoring. I don't know how else to put it. But like the fountain he's sitting at is actually a giant statue of the statue that everybody has in their rooms. And when they go to Ryza, and like if you put it in a certain place, I don't know if it was in the room or outside your door or something, like it means you're like down to do whatever. Jamaharan or whatever you want to do, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That being said, when they said Jamaharan, I was like, I remember hearing it before, like talked about on like DS9 and stuff, but I'm not really sure that anyone has ever explained exactly what it is. All it is something like, it's just their like lingo for this is this crazy sex thing we're going to do. If you're into that, you know, it's one of those things.
Gotcha. Okay.
They've mentioned it, but never been like, they've never explicitly spoken about it.
Seems to be a running theme with Star Trek where they just make up a jumbled ass fucking word and then they're like, we'll never explain it and we'll just let everybody else think what it is and then there you go.
Actually, do you remember, I know you're not a huge Star Trek fan, but do you remember, Dax, the from DS9, the one that has she's the Trill that has the marks on the side of each of her face, the pattern?
Sort of.
Okay, so she's a Trill. She has a for lack of a better term, a parasite that lives inside her, and the human looking community of the world and the parasite looking community, they work together by like they live, you know, it's a symbiote. It goes inside of, you know, when the host dies, they take it out, throw it into the new host, and it's that whole thing. And that, so Dax on DS9 had lived for lifetimes. And one of those lifetimes before she was Dax, she was a dude by the name of Curzon Dax, and he was a friend of Benjamin Sisko. But anyways, one of the things that they mentioned was that his death was brought upon by Jamaharan because he was kind of a freak. Gotcha. And I was like, okay, you know, that works. That makes complete sense. But, you know, the A-plot was pretty much more the Boimler Mariner, you know, them, her, you know, their relationship and what it's going to end up being the whole season. And her, you know, pulling that thing at the very end with the Ferengi to make him, like, feel better about himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was cute. That was cool. I'm not sure if they needed to have her call him as well. Like, we kind of got it when she, like, smiled and, like, shook her head as she walked out of the bar when he was telling the whole story about it. But, you know, she's got contacts, man. She got somebody everywhere. She met Corrin and beat the shit out of him when they first showed up.
Yeah. Apparently, she's been all over space and knows everything. Like, it's like the whole, she's street smart in space. Like, that's, you know, and it's like his whole lifetime comment or whatever the fuck it was, you know, like, it's like, really? I mean, if he's gone through all this training and they're not really like that much different, like, mm-hmm. I mean, I get his point. Like, how did you do all this shit? Like, how do you know these things? Like, you should have been in school while I was in school, maybe a year or two apart, you know?
Right. That is the weird thing, especially if he's like, I mean, he says we're like the same age, but, you know, he may have joined later than her because she definitely had time to gain rank. And I doubt it was because it sounds like she's always been a problem for her mother and father. So I don't think it was like she pulled some strings because daddy's an admiral type thing. You know what I mean? I don't think she did that.
Well, no, I don't think she did that, but I also don't think that hurt her probably in any way, shape, or form. Like, it also kind of seems like she's one of those people that is like, I don't need to graduate from Harvard because I can write a computer operating system kind of thing too, you know? So,
right.
I would be curious as to like what her trajectory was, right? Like, obviously homeboy went to like the university route and all this. So like, were you just on a spaceship as like a janitor or something? Right? Right. You know, and like you just happened to be going around space while mom and dad were out trekking around and stuff, you know? And then you were like, well, I guess I need a job kind of thing. But to me, it was like, if you're already doing that, like, why wouldn't you just continue being like a space outlaw per se, you know, right?
Space out. How long do you think it's going to take before her friends find out she's the captain's daughter?
I feel like they already know. Well, not him. I don't think the new guy knows, but I think anybody else that's like around there, they already know that.
See, I don't think anybody knows that.
Yeah, I think everybody knows that.
Oh, well. Agree to disagree, sir.
Yeah, I think the only people that like don't know would be her mom and dad, and that's really just of like, who the fuck's problem is she now? You know what I'm saying? Like, because it was like, don't put her off this ship. Well, we're over here on this ship, and he's like, all right, honey, I'm hanging up. Like, hey, she's stuck over there with you. Like, don't bring her back this way, kind of thing. Like, but there's no way you wouldn't know that on that ship.
You think so?
Yeah, how the fuck would you hide that?
I think she's that good. I think she is trying to hide
it. She's that good with the same name, and like everybody can just kind of walk around and go like, oh, hey, DNA. Hey, I've been through the medic wing. Hey, I know everything about you. Yes. Everybody doesn't know that she's the person.
Her and the captain don't have the same last name.
Again, they look the fucking same. Like, it's one of those things, dude. Like, just because they're cartoons here, we're not going to negate logic with, like, just common sense. If they end up dropping this, like, oh, my God, you're the captain's daughter. Like, I'll be like, are you fucking kidding me? That is dumb as shit. Everybody on that ship is highly fucking intelligent. That's the whole process of betterment with no money. Like, all you do is make yourself smarter or stronger. That's it. You got to have common sense at least to know that they are fucking related, especially the way they talk to each other.
Yeah, the fact that she's very belligerent to her anytime that she's around her.
Yeah, like you just couldn't sit there and go, I mean, that's not how a normal captain fucking talks to somebody that's just like a general person. You know, you'd be like, you guys know each other? And at some point she would be like, yeah, that's my fucking mom. And then there you go.
Well, Boimler definitely doesn't.
No, I know he doesn't, but I think like the general consensus of the ship and like the other people she's interacted with all know who she is, but they all know that she doesn't want any part of that. Where, man, I think he's like, why wouldn't you want to be captain and blah, 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 because he doesn't know that like both of her parents have been up there and, you know, like all of that. He doesn't know any of that. But I think the rest of the ship is quite on the inside of that information.
I hate that is your take on it, because I have a really bad feeling that they're playing it like no one knows. And I have a feeling that you're going to shut down when that happens. You're going to be probably like, fuck will. This.
Like, I mean, the show's okay at best right now anyways for me.
Right.
So like
right.
If they just end up doing really dumb crap like that, I'll be like, I'll give you one season, man. Then you can watch that shit on your own. I'm not like, following not it anymore. This again.
True.
I just hope. Yeah. I really hope that it's just like a cartoon in space. Like, I don't want them to start driving plots with that, like, loop into other shit. You know what I'm saying? That would affect a domino falling in another episode. Now, if they pull like reference things or whatever to kind of tie it all in, that's cool. But I hope like almost every episode is essentially like this one. There's no real like story per se. It's just like, hey, here's our Wednesday and we're going about it. Like, I really, and then maybe if you get like a season or two or three, then you go like pull something from season one that was like funny as shit or whatever, you know, and kind of start looping your own stuff in the show.
Right.
But have they greenlit this for like multiple seasons already?
I believe they've greenlit it for a season two already.
It's unfortunate.
That's all they've done. So that's unfortunate. Yeah. You said
that's right now. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Hey, look, right now with what's going on, everybody's going to get another season just to make sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, yeah, that is.
We can say this now because we don't want you to not watch what's currently there, but we don't have to follow through with that when the pandemic's over. We're going to say everything. It's you get a season two. You get a season two. I don't care.
Yeah. Just keep working. Just keep working.
Right. Pretend. Yeah. We're going to take in some more cash for this to see how long we can hold this out. Yeah. So I like this episode because while there were nice Easter eggs you could pick out visually if you're nerdy enough to sit there and you know, Next Generation stuff. But I don't feel like it was as heavy handed as it was in the first episode. You know what I mean? There's a lot that was trying to hook people who were like Star Trek nerds. I think this one, you're like, it was like a Tuesday. It's like, hey, here, I got to run this guy down. I got to, you know, try my new jobs out. Like all that. There wasn't like a whole bunch of things that were said back and forth that were like, Oh, that's a reference only people who watch this episode of Next Generation would understand.
Yeah.
That being said, the very opening scene with the little like glowing orb that came into the ship, like that was a funny like little scene. It may have kind of referenced the episode of called The Child in Next Generation, where like Deanna Troi gets pregnant and like carries the baby to term in like 2 weeks and has the baby, and then it was a life form that wanted to experience the human, like what it's like to be a human or a, because she's not human, she's Beta Zed, but you know what I'm saying, like that form. And so it became a child. It grew up real quick and then died, mm-hmm. like quickly, like in 2 weeks, and became light again and flew away and all this stuff. So it was one of those, like, it was an episode that was written like before like the 89 writer's strike. So it was like, ain't one of the greatest episodes ever type thing. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it was supposed to reference that, but it was still funny. The whole like, where she didn't give us, she's like, you're going to shock, shit shocks people, fucking stick it in the bucket, you know, and then she's all screaming at it, and then they like force it to make a tricorder.
Yeah.
I can grant you wishes. but then the weird, okay, so the one thing, you talk about things that may carry over into other, like further episodes done, they may call back to. I'm not sure if the captain, when they were done having it produce things, like when it flew towards the captain, it flew like into her. I don't know if it was just so tiny that it just disappeared because it just had no more power, or if it's like one of those little like where it planted a seed and later on something's going to go down with the captain that we have to get this thing out of her type thing.
Yeah, I would kind of wonder that too, because it like popped, but I was like, did it pop like a bubble, or did it like, was that the animation right. they used to say that like her walking into it sucked it up or whatever, right? You know,
right?
I mean, I think it was more of just like the thing was big and it was all like, I'm gonna kill you all humans, and then it said its little bullshit as a gnat and it she just walked right through it, you know, like it was right. nothing. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what it was, but I kind of thought the same thing. I was like, I wonder if that absorbed into her, but then again, like what their face was like trying to shove it in a canister, so it seems like it's pretty solid object as it is, so I think she just crushed it.
well, it did fly into the ship through the hull, so I think it can make itself, you know, pass through things. So maybe it is inside of her. Who knows? The best part of that is that she was trying to figure out her warp, her going to warp phrase, because like every captain, like, you know, Kirk had in, or Picard had engage, and Pike now says punch it, and you know, and Kirk had his, I forget what Kirk's was, but like. I think it's hilarious that she's like trying out catchphrases. It's warp time. Like, what am I going to go with? You like that? I'm going with that. Like, I thought that was funny. But yeah, it was a good second episode. It did not feel nearly as like fast and rushed as the first episode was a lot to watch. Like, it was very fast and quick, and you're just like, oh, I got to take all this shit in at once. And this one was more like, here's your A plot, here's your B plot. Let's go through it. It's going to be funny. It's going to be, you know, nerdy, let's do it. And I did enjoy episode two immensely better than episode one.
Yeah, it was better than episode one. I just still don't see a rocket taking off trajectory with this show.
To me,
this episode is going to be about as funny as it gets.
Oh man, I hope not.
Yeah, like I don't think you're going to have one just like, oh my God, I lost my shit. This will go down in like comedy history moments, like with this show. Like, I think this episode with the five or six like solid chuckles you get through it is like the peak comedy that is going to go across this show.
Especially in an episode where they virtually shot children into space.
Yeah.
during the holodeck sequence.
The preschool hole is broke now. Literally all of the children have been shot out into space.
That is the one, the commander is the one guy, which makes sense because of Riker. He's the one guy I kind of want him. I want him on screen more because he has all the greatest. Like, what was this when he was like, there's nothing better than the feeling of a throbbing stick between your hand or like in your hands. Like, I was everything. He's the one last week was like, how much flesh did I actually eat? Like that, yeah. He has all the like perfect line. I love it. So. And I hope this isn't the funniest episode, especially since episode 4 is titled Moist Vessel. That's the title of episode 4, so I'm already, like, intrigued. And we still have to get through next episode, which is Temporal Edict. But I'm intrigued by episodes 4 title, and that's all we have. They only have those 4 episode titles up so far.
Oh, okay.
But Moist Vessel has me intrigued. I'm definitely making it to at least that episode. So, but a good week all around. Getting back into it with you is nice. I missed our time on the mic during the summer with nothing going on TV wise.
Yeah, summers are slow.
They are slow, especially God. I don't know what we're gonna do next year when they haven't been filming this whole year. Maybe nothing on television.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that far ahead.
Yeah, right. Anyways, but we thank you for listening with us this week. If you are finding us for the first time, make sure you turn on your notifications. Our shows do not come out on the same day twice, I promise. until next week with episode 3 of Lower Decks, we'll see you then.
Yeah, guys, take care.